Almighty God, we pray you graciously to behold your family, the human family. So guide our hearts and still our fears, that we may receive the mercy you reveal in Christ Jesus, and that we may embody grace in this time of our need. Amen. For nearly 2,000 years, the Christian family has observed this solemn day in order that we not lose sight of what God has done. In the same way, our Jewish and Muslim sisters and brothers practice observances of God's saving acts. Different from ours, but our religion reminds us to stop, to pay attention, to stand in and encounter anew the truth of God's story in relationship with the human family. That to each of us, and of course, these stories, that they proclaim to us the truth of life, the way of life that we have received from God. We arrive at the threshold of our annual Easter observance, standing on foreign soil. Not one of us has lived through anything like the novel coronavirus pandemic. How are you right now? Where is your sense of being and your sense of self? I am anxious. I am grieving for the way of life, the familiar patterns of my life that felt good and normal. I am grieving for them, for they are gone. I feel sorrow and pain for the suffering that is unfolding around the world. And I feel dread for what is yet to unfold around me. I bring all of this to the foot of the cross and cry. The human family is vulnerable in a novel way because of this novel virus. We bring all of this to this solemn day, this day when the lives of Jesus' first followers were broken by terror, fear, guilt, loss, and the very death of their hopes. Their hopes that Jesus was God's chosen one who would save the people of God's covenant from terror and power of Roman imperial rule. Just as God had saved the Hebrews from the Egyptian empire, surely Jesus' followers had hoped that through Jesus, God was raising up a new king like David to save the Jews by overthrowing the Roman Empire. This solemn day when Jesus died matters because in the story of Easter, it is like the period at the end of this sentence. Full stop. The end. Death. Death is part of the story. Don't miss it. Death is part of the story of God's saving acts of self-giving love in Jesus. How we understand the meaning of these events should shape us and should change us. But transformation is a journey of choice, a journey of will and of willingness to follow. What we choose says everything about how we understand who and what God is as He emerges through this story. To me, the point of religion is to be changed, to be formed in this way rather than that way. Christianity invites us into a particular kind of life, the way of the cross. A way of knowing God that has consequences. that living in this way rather than that way, God does something to us to change the human family. And more than that, how we are changed also changes. The human family today is different from the human family 2,000 years before Christ, or 1,000 years, or in the year of Christ's death. It's a fact that many ancient cultures, including the most ancient roots of the Hebrews, that in their cultures, human sacrifice was practiced. No one today does this. But it was practiced then. In fact, child sacrifice was practiced until something changed. Some years ago, I attended a Torah class at a synagogue, and the story of Abraham and Isaac was the story of the day. We read the story and we all wondered and tried to make the best meaning we could out of it because it's such a horrific story. We said it's about obedience and about following. The rabbi said, well, what if it's about the end of child sacrifice? What if it's the way that we remember and tell the story of how God ended child sacrifice among humankind? We missed it because we don't practice that. We stand in a different place of understanding. So we didn't even consider the possibility that that might be one meaning of that story. How the human family sees who we are and what God is matters. The rabbi went on to ask whether the destruction of the temple might have been the end of offering animal sacrifice. And in the place of living animals slaughtered on an altar, an offering of life from humankind to God, in the destruction of the temple, that practice ended. And in the place of the animal, we put our prayer, human offering of prayer to God, of thanksgiving, of celebration, of contrition. But isn't that still a transaction? Isn't that still us offering something to God so that God does something for us? Or at least doesn't punish us? How Christians have understood the meaning of the crucifixion of Jesus also has changed over the centuries, as our perspective and our standing in the world changes. Notice that the cross was not an altar, and the crucifixion was not a religious rite. The cross at that time was a tool of domination and of terror, the way lynchings were used to control and terrorize African Americans. The cross was the power of Rome to torture and to kill anyone who threatened their power anytime they wished. It was domination. The cross was terror, and it was more than just a symbol of death. It was the symbol of death, the symbol of terror. And that is where our Jesus died. The Son of God, the one person of the undivided Holy Trinity, God submitting God's entire self to human power and the domination of Rome. Why? To change us, to show us what we are. Religious stories are all about the transformation of us, of humanity, growing in maturity and becoming more and more of the creatures God created us to become. We have to ponder our experiences of the present moment. And in the midst of this unfolding pandemic, in the suffering and vulnerability of this tender moment, we have to bring all of that to bear on what God is doing in and through Christ's giving of his life on an instrument of death and torture. The whole meaning of the cross flips on the day of resurrection. To the first disciples, the cross was the end. To all of the followers after the resurrection, it's a part of the story. What is God calling us to let go of? To surrender in order to grow in maturity and grow in humanity. Jesus' followers, those he loved and who loved him, they abandoned him in their terror to save themselves. And it is first to those who betrayed Jesus that the resurrected Christ comes to bless them and to proclaim mercy and to heal their broken community and to proclaim reconciliation and mercy to be the only way of life. That is the way of the cross. God judged the powers of retribution and punishment with mercy and healing. Let the whole human family stand together at the foot of the cross and receive what our God is offering us, mercy and grace, so that our wounded, frightened souls need not blame one another for our problems, so that we may be bound together in a love that we share. The resurrected Christ, living and showing himself to me through you. Loving you through my acts of mercy and compassion. Being with you in your need, in your suffering, and your joy. May we who follow Jesus Christ be the visible compassion of God on earth, that we may be transformed in Christ forever. Amen.